Well, it's good to see many of you back again from vacations, all the places you went. I don't know where you all went, but we were on the road as well, and it's good to be safe back at home again. And I see somebody was watching the game. Looks like some red back there in the back. Kevin, thanks for bringing that. It was a good game, I have to admit to you Buckeye fans. Good game. Thanks, Keith, too, for your leading in worship. I appreciate that last song we sang. It talks about going forth from here to the nations. And we're going to talk about that some this morning, that God's presence is here among us, but it also, we send it out through our presence out into other countries, and that's where Tom and Candace are going. And who knows? I don't know where God is sending you. Maybe some of you are going to feel a call at some point to go to another country, or maybe just down the street or in your backyard. God calls us to many different things, and we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to do a commissioning, and so I thought I would talk about what that is, commissioning for Tom and Candace specifically. And so I brought my bottle of wine here for that reason. So a little bit later, we're going to have them come up, and then I think what you do is you break it across them like that. Isn't that what commissioning is? Am I off track on that? I've seen that done before with ships, so I don't know. Maybe it would be appropriate for this. What do you think, guys? Ouch, yeah, I think so too. No, that's not quite what we're doing this morning, not exactly. Although there's some similarities. When they commission a ship, they put it into service, and they send it out ready for it to be used. And so there's some similarities there, but a lot of differences as well. Well, to get a better idea of what a commissioning is all about and how it affects you and I, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 13. So if you would like to turn there and just follow along with me, we're going to look at the first few verses in Acts 13. The book of Acts is about the early church, how it began, how it grew, and how it functioned. And I find it an intriguing story as we think about how our church functions, how it grows, how it expands, because we get this picture of how the early church started, and it gives us a good idea about how we should function as well. And so we're going to look at a few verses here to begin with. This, in chapter 13, we are really catching up with a church in Antioch that was started there. We have a church here in London. And it was at the church in Antioch that the believers were first called Christians, if you remember. So let's see what's happening here at this church in Antioch. I'm going to begin at verses 1 through 3. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Well, the first thing I want to look at in this passage is the call. And that's really where it starts. And so I have some questions about that for you to think about. What is it that you have been called to? And I know I've asked you, some of you, that question sometimes, and you've told me, well, I'm not sure. Not sure what God has called me to. And maybe sometimes you're frustrated with that. I know, looking back on my life, there have been periods of time where I have been frustrated with trying to figure out, what is it that God wants me to do? What am I supposed to do with my life? There was a period of time when I worked at Command Alcon, several years, where I kind of felt this nagging feeling that I was supposed to be doing something else, but I didn't know what it was. And so there was a discontent there. My wife would say that I have that pretty much all the time, but I wouldn't say that's true. But there are times where I'm always thinking, what is it that God is asking me to do? Where does He want me to go? Am I in the place where He wants me to be? And so for you, it would be interesting if we just went around quickly and said, what is it that God is calling you to? Because each of us is different. God made us different, different personalities, different gifts, different strengths, and different weaknesses. And so he prepares us to work together to represent Christ to the world. And so it'd be interesting to see how that all fits together here. What is it that he's called you to? And maybe you are at a point where you're not sure. Maybe you're discerning that right now. And maybe, hopefully, what we look at this morning can help you work through that in some way. So we have this call. It's very important because it shows that it's really not just us doing this work. There's really something larger going on than just us and our own personal desires and wants. So I want you to think, what is your call? What has God asked you to do? I find it interesting in this passage that it was during worship and fasting that Barnabas and Paul were called. Why do you suppose that was, during this time of worship and fasting? Well, I can't say exactly, but it seems to me that it was probably a time where they were particularly sensitive to what the Holy Spirit was saying. I think that's part of the reason for fasting is for us to bring ourselves to a point where we're being more aware of what is it that God is saying to us that we need to hear. And so it's during this time that they hear a word from the Lord. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to send Paul and Barnabas. And so I think the lesson for us in this is to make sure that we're listening. Are you listening? You might say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do, but maybe you're not giving time for God to speak to you. I know that's been true in my life, where I'm so wrapped up in maybe what it is that I want to do and accomplish in life, that I really haven't taken the time to step back and say, what is it really that God wants me to do? So I think that's one thing we can learn from this, to make sure that we have periods of time in our life where we step back and say, okay, God, I'm listening. I want to hear. And I will respond. Not just the fact that, well, I'm listening, but no, I don't want to do that. But yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready, God. What is it that you have for me? So I think they were in a state of readiness. Well, one of the most crucial parts, I think, of this call that we need to look at is that it really reminds us that this is God's work, not our own work. God is the one who is doing the work in the world, in people's hearts. It's not us. The Holy Spirit is at work in preparing people, in calling people, in speaking to their hearts. And we get the privilege of kind of working along with God in that process. We get to be a part of that, a small part, but an important part of that. It's not all dependent upon us, and I think that's part of the relief, I think, when we think of it as God's work. Because sometimes when we get into a work or start carrying out our calling, we get this idea that it all depends on us, okay? And if I don't get this right, then God's plan is just going to fall apart. And that is so far from the truth. God's plan is going to be worked out regardless of whether we get it exactly right or not. And the fact is, you and I are not going to get it exactly right. It's just the way it's going to be. But God's plan is going to continue. It's much larger than us. And so when we look at this calling, that calling is so important to us. It's so important to me because there are times where we get discouraged. There are times where we wonder, you know, what am I in here? Why did I get into this position, God? And how is this going to all work out? And it's during those times that we go back to that calling. For me anyways, I go back to that and I say, yes, I know. This is where God wants me to be. And regardless of how it looks right now, I'm going to stay on task. I'm going to stay where he's put me until he calls me to something else. But for right now, this is where he's called me, and that's what I'm going to do. I think it also humbles us when we realize that it's God's work. It keeps our pride down where it needs to be because we recognize that, hey, you know this thing that just happened that was pretty awesome? Well, God did that. I didn't do that. I had a part in it, And I got a chance to see it, which is awesome. But no, it wasn't me. It was God doing the work. And so I think it always keeps us in a, when we recognize that, it keeps us in a place of humility, recognizing what our position really is in this. Yes, we get to be involved, and yes, it is an important part, but God is the one who is doing the work. I missed a verse here I wanted to mention when I was talking about the fact that it relieves the pressure on us. One of the verses that I've clung to over the years is 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and maybe you want to make this one of your verses that you hang on to when you're working for the Lord. It says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And that's a verse that I hang on to. He doesn't call us to something and then just say, "Good luck with that. I hope it works out." But no, he's faithful. When he calls us to something, he will give us the strength to meet that challenge. And he is really the one who's doing the work. So maybe that is a verse you want to hang on to and write down for yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It is God's work and he is doing it. But it's also our work, right? The call here was heard and discerned by a group of believers, by the body. And so we are involved in discerning, really, each other's call in a lot of ways. We're going to have an opportunity to hear from Tom and Candace later and hear how it is that God called them to this particular task. And like I said, it'd be interesting to hear from each of you on that. But I'm sure there was a process for them of discerning this call with close friends, probably family members, figuring out, is this really what we're supposed to do? Does this make sense? Does this make sense in what God is calling us? So there's a discernment process in that. We're involved. There's a group of people involved with that, a part of the body. It's a group effort. And you see in this case here in this scripture, even after they heard the call, they spent more time in prayer and fasting. And I believe that was to confirm this call and really what their response was supposed to be to this call. And what this means is that as we send Tom and Candace to Thailand, we ourselves have a real part in the work in Thailand, each of us here, as we send them. In fact, it's kind of like us getting on the plane on Tuesday and in some sense going with them to this country across the other side of the world and being a part of that work over there. There's a lot of ways that we can be a part of that work in Thailand. And so we're a part of this calling, this sending. God ministers directly to us through the support of others in the body, and so our work is closely connected to each other. So we have this call from God himself. We have this discernment of that call as a body. And then we have the sending. We are sending Tom and Candace out just as we sent them 3 years ago. We're resending them back to Thailand again. And the point I want to make with this is that this is normal. It's a normal process for a body to be in the process of always sending people out. It may not be overseas. It may not be in another part of the country. It may be just in a local way. But there's this process always of sending people out, not just kind of focusing in on our own needs, what the needs of our local church are, being willing to release those talents and abilities and function in another way. And I remember when they left 3 years ago, there was a little bit of adjustment for me in that. I was dependent on, Tom was pastoring here, and Candace was involved in ministry as well. And so we had to, as a church, readjust to other people filling those responsibilities. And that's a normal part of church life, that people are with us for a while and then God calls them and sends them out to different places. And so we want to bless that. We want to be supporting that process. But there is some pain to that. there's some pain involved, and we need to recognize that, both for the people who are leaving and also for the people who are sending them. There's some pain involved there. Separation from friends and family, a way of life that may be different where they're going than where they've come from. And it's difficult. I remember the Agape Church in Hilliard. I remember several years ago when they planted a church in Lancaster, Ohio. And they took some of their good people and sent them down there. And so there was this process of having to replace those people, those responsibilities. And they did the same thing, sent some of their best people up to Marysville to plant a church. And you think about that. You take some of the people you depend on the most in ministry in a church, and you take all those people and then send them off somewhere else to start another church. That takes some doing. There's some pain in that separation and then developing new leaders again, that whole process. But it's a good and healthy process to do for a church, not to just be focused on staying put, being centered on the things that God is doing here, and He is doing things here, but to be thinking about the broader picture as well. So churches should always be looking for how God would want them to expand their influence and send people out. And even parts of churches, like small groups, I think, the same thing is true. Small groups should always be looking at growing and expanding and eventually sending people out to start another small group. Not just being content with the great things that are happening in this small group, but being willing to expand the ministry beyond ourselves. It's painful. It's hard. And we would more often just kind of like to stay, at least for me, stay with what feels comfortable and good. And I identify with that a lot. But when we see people go out and we see that ministry expand, it is so fulfilling to watch that happen and see God working in even greater ways beyond us, and maybe ways that would never have been achieved if we weren't willing to let people go. So it's challenging work. And my prayer for many years really has been with my children in particular, is to see them do greater things in ministry than what I've been able to accomplish. It's been a common prayer for me in praying for them, that God would use them to reach more people than what I ever was able to reach. And I know that part of that prayer probably means that, it may mean that someday I will be saying goodbye to some of my children as they maybe go overseas or to another part of the country. If they're really oriented to looking outward in ministry, that's probably going to happen. And I can't say that I'm really looking forward to that much. In fact, I don't even really want to think about that. But I can get excited about the idea of my children being in the place that God wants them to be and being effective in ministry. That gets me really excited. And I think that overcomes that fear of separation, that pain, of realizing that God would be using them to do great things in the world, wherever it is that He calls them. And so I don't want to be a person who stands in the way of God's call. None of us want to be a person who is bucking God's call, whether it's for somebody else in our lives or for ourselves. We want to be ready and willing to go. And so that brings me to the last point here, and I want to read verses 4 and 5. Let's look and see what they did. It says, "The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper." I'm going to stop there. Now, I see once again we're reminded here, right in the first sentence there, it says they were sent on their way by who? The Holy Spirit. Once again, we have this reminder that this is God's work. It really was God calling them and really is God sending them. This is a sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. And what are they called to do? Well, it says here that they proclaimed the word of God. They're called to proclaim the word of God. This wasn't just a chance for Paul and Barnabas to do some world traveling. You know, maybe they wanted to see the world. And so, this kind of lines up. We get a chance to travel around, stay in some nice motels and whatever. No, this wasn't what it was about. They took this call seriously. It says that they immediately began to proclaim the word of God. There wasn't that. They understood why they were being sent. And I think that's crucial. When we're called to something, sometimes we have this list of criteria, like, okay, well, I'm going to listen to God's call as long as I get these things right here, that they line up. You know, I don't have to stay in a house that has a, you know, no bed or something, or whatever it might be. I don't know what it is. Or maybe I get to live in Florida instead of having to do with this weather up here in Ohio. I don't know. I never thought I'd end up in Ohio. How did I end up in Ohio? I thought I was going to be in, I don't know where, I thought I was going to be in Colorado or something like that. But I never got there. And the reason is that God called me here. And who am I to change that or deviate from that? And I do like Ohio, so. But it wasn't my original plan. And so we have to be careful that we don't get confused on what it is that God is calling us to. I had to think of the youth with us, too, this morning. You guys are getting ready in about 6 months, to go to Costa Rica. And I think it'd be good for you to think about it, too. What is it that God is calling you to? Why are you going to Costa Rica? Now, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun. And I'm not against fun at all. And I hope you do have a lot of fun. But I'd like you to think about, why is God calling you to go? You have a lot of people who send in all kinds of money to support you in that. What are the expectations of why you're going down there? Is it just to have a good time and to have an experience outside of this country? Well, I don't think so. I think God has prepared your youth group, this youth group, to go and to minister. And also, I expect that there's going to be opportunities for God to change you down in Costa Rica. And so, I'd encourage you to be ready when you go, to have your eyes open to what is it that God, how God wants to use you to minister, and also how He wants to change you as a person as a result of being in Costa Rica. So there are other places that we're asked to go. We need to be clear on what that calling is. We are really going out, whenever we're called, we're going out as representatives of Jesus Christ. We are representing Him. And in some ways, we're also representing the body who is sending us. So when Tom and Candace go over to Thailand, they're representing Jesus Christ, but they're also representing London Christian Fellowship in some ways. And the same with the youth going to Costa Rica. They're representing Christ. They're representing this church body. And so, so we need to remember what it is that we're being called to. So that part of it brings in an accountability that we need to keep in mind. As we're sending people, as we're being sent, there's this accountability that is there that is important, and to work together as a body to be accountable to each other and what God has called us to do. Now, I have complete confidence in Tom and Candace's desire to reach the people in Thailand for Jesus. And so I would encourage all of us to support them in whatever ways God leads us to in that calling. I'm excited about a couple that is responding in obedience to God's call, and I'm excited because I know God is going to use them. He's going to use that obedience to do a great work in Thailand. And I'm excited to be a part of it. And my prayer is that many people in Thailand will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as they hear the truth proclaimed. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of commissioning this morning. We thank You for a chance to reflect on this process of how you raise up people to go to different places, to do different things. And we thank you for the uniqueness and the different gifts and abilities that you bring in the body of Christ. And I pray that we would be able to support each other and that we would be able to represent you in a way that brings honor and glory to you, as we sang about this morning. So, Lord, I ask your blessing on our time together as we do the commissioning, and we just thank you for being with us here. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll start. I asked Tom and Candace if they would share with us to begin with just some of how God called them to Thailand. And some of you may not know them, so this will give you a chance to understand how they reached this point. And so Tom and Candace, then I think they're going to introduce their MST team after that. You can go ahead and come forward.
Hey, good morning. It's really good to be back here again with you this morning. It's been a privilege to be in America for these 3 months, and we've been able to enjoy a lot of really good experiences in Virginia and Delaware with our families, and also here. We wish we had more time that we could spend with you guys, but it's just a really good feeling to be here this morning and to know that you're sending us out, and we really appreciate what Rob shared. This idea of God's call has been something that we've certainly had a lot of time to reflect on, and that we're thinking of a lot these days as we go back again. Originally, we felt God calling us to Thailand, and it was sort of a long, slow process, and we didn't have a real clear idea of what it was going to end up as. I think both of us felt a sort of a general call to missions, an interest in other countries and being involved in sharing the gospel in a cross-cultural setting. And we talked about it as we were preparing to get married and after our marriage, different times, asking, is this the right time? But it took a while. And I think what was important for us was not trying to get ahead of God's plan for us, not trying to push our own agenda. And Thailand wasn't something that we thought up on our own or had this burning desire to get to Thailand and somehow made it happen. But we didn't push ahead of God's plan for us, but we also tried to stay open to that. And even in practical decisions about whether to buy a house or rent a house, we felt like it was important to stay open to God's call and to not get so tied down to one place that it would be really difficult if and when God did call us to move on. And as we came to the point where we felt like God was calling us to go, it was something that God worked with each of us individually and in different ways. For me, a part of it was this feeling of restlessness that Rob talked about and discontent. I was working in two places that were very good places to work and that I really enjoyed, but at the same time, I got the feeling that maybe it was time for something different. And at the same time, God was also speaking to Candace in different ways through sermons and reading a Bible and just in many different ways it all came together, and it was clear enough to us at that point that we felt like God was calling us to go to Thailand, and we have had to go back to that sense of call over the 3 years in Thailand. It certainly wasn't always easy, but we did see what Rob talked about this morning, that it was God doing the work, that he called us and he did the work. He provided what we needed when we needed it. And we can certainly testify to his grace and his power in calling us there. And now, this time, after being there 3 years and then coming back, we need to go back to that sense of call again, because it's difficult, just like it was the first time. It's difficult again to leave our family, to leave friends here, to leave some of the conveniences of life in America. But we still feel that call that God's placed on us, and we have a peace and an excitement about going back, even in the midst of the sadness. It's been a difficult last couple of weeks, in a way, saying goodbye to so many people, and especially thinking about our kids and what that means for them. And if we didn't have a sense of God's call on our lives, it would be very difficult to return to Thailand. But we see how God's at work in our our lives and in our kids' lives. And our kids are sad to be leaving, but they're also very excited about going back to Thailand. And so we're thankful for that, that we can all sort of deal with this mixture of sadness, but also anticipation about what God is going to do, and the peace that we have about his place that he's prepared for us in Thailand and what he wants us to do there. Song that I've been singing a lot to the kids when I'm putting them to bed at night is "He Leadeth Me." And don't worry, I won't try to sing it for you, but I just really like that image that God leads us. And the song talks about all these different scenarios, hard times and easy times and troubled seas and calm waters and all of this. But the constant in that, even through to death, is if we've got our hand in God's hand, then he's leading us. And that's what gives us a sense of stability and a sense of peace. So we'll be leaving for Thailand on Tuesday. Shared with you a couple months ago about what we'll be doing, returning to a lot of the same things we were doing before, teaching English, working with the Reach team that's there, leading the RMM team that's there. And so we'd certainly appreciate your prayers for us, especially on Tuesday. If you think about us, we'll be leaving for the airport Tuesday morning, and by the time we get to our house in Thailand, it'll be probably sometime shortly after noon on Wednesday here. So it's going to be a very long trip, and we're praying for patience and for safety, and you can join us in doing that. And we also just appreciate your prayers for us as we readjust to life in Thailand. Pray that God would continue to give us opportunities to share his love, that we'd continue to have our eyes open to see his hand at work, and that God would reveal himself in greater ways to the Thai people.
Just echo what Tom said about feeling a mixture of things this morning. I remember one thing they told us in training before we left was that you have to learn to live in paradox, and we all do, but especially in missions, learning to live with that sense of excitement and joy and anticipation and also fear and sadness at leaving. And so that's what we've been talking about with the girls. It's okay to feel two ways at once, and that's how we feel right now. So, Rob, thanks for focusing us on the future this morning. It was really good, really encouraging, and I'm really excited. We want to say thank you to some of you this morning in particular. As a church, you've been incredibly supportive, and we definitely have that sense that Rob talked about of you going with us and being a part of our team, and we need you, and we need your prayers, and we need your help in a lot of ways, and you've given that so generously the last 3 years, and we're so, so thankful for your financial support. Many of you, the church supports us financially, as well as many individuals very generously, and we're so thankful. And then when you pray for us, when you send us notes, many little ways you have of encouraging us, and we really are thankful. We want to introduce a few people that are really special to us and have been helping us particularly. First of all, I want to say my parents are here, James and Leanna, and my sister Rebecca, and you all know Jared, my brother-in-law. We feel like we can go with joy because they bless us, and it feels really good to have them behind us too. And our whole family is very supportive. We also want to introduce our missionary support team, our MST. See if I can remember all the titles. Phil is the leader of our MST. Do you guys want to come? Can you come up? And Becky is our communications person. And Shannon is our logistics coordinator. She helps especially with our planning and for our home assignment. Rob and Doris are our pastoral care couple. Twyla, where are you, Twyla? She's a children's coordinator. She keeps the kids connected with people back here. And Robin is our prayer coordinator. Robin. And Marcus, thank you for being on our team the last 3 years. We really appreciate that. Anyone else?
That's it.
Okay.
I guess I'm just going to reiterate a few things that were expressed this morning. About 3 years ago, when Tom and Candace asked me to be the leader of their MST, they gave me a pamphlet not really sure that I ever read it until last night, but I probably did, but I don't remember. But one of the things that struck me that I was reading last night is, why have an MST, a missionary support team? Missionaries on the front lines need to have a strong line of defense back home that is caring for their needs and standing with them in prayer. In a secular war, there is an acknowledged ratio of support personnel to frontline soldiers. For example, in World War II, the ratio was 15 to 1, and in the Persian Gulf War, the ratio was 50 to 1. Spiritual warfare demands no less emphasis. I guess my point for reading that is, as you can see up here, there's not enough of us to support them. There's only, I'm not a math major, but the ratio would be about like 3 to 1. So my point is, they need you as well. We're their, LCF is their home church. We're sending them. And although those of us up here are their official missionary support team, you play just an act as important and active as a role as we do. So I want to encourage you to join with us, with Tom and Candace, as they go. And there are some practical ways that you can do that. Financial support, you can send them cards, send them letters. They have a blog that you can keep up to date with them. In fact, it's very easy. I read it about every day. And most important, you can pray for them. So, and if you can think of other ways that we as a church can be a blessing to them and help support them, please let me know, or any of us up here. So bottom line, they need all of us. So thanks.
All right, well, we would like to finish this time of commissioning with a time of prayer, which is really the most important part. And what we'd like to do is to get an idea kind of this big body joining together. I'm going to have them come down here, I think right in the front here, so we have space to spread out this way and that way. And as much as we can, as many of you feel comfortable, let's just gather around. Some can lay hands on them, and then we can just kind of lay hands on each other and kind of spread a big circle out. And we'll leave an opportunity for any of you to lead out in praying for them, and then I'll close that time of prayer. So let's go ahead and do that. Tom and Candace and family down here in the middle, and then the rest of us can come. And why don't we all stand together? And those of you who would like to come and join. All right, anybody who would like to lead out in prayer, feel free to lead out.